There is very little scientific evidence proving marijuana's effectiveness and safety as a medicine, which puts doctors in medical marijuana states in a tricky situation. As part of our Bridges to Health series, 90.5 WESA's Liz Reed explores the questions Pennsylvania doctors are asking, and what patients are doing in the meantime.
15-year-old Ryan Briggs is practicing a skill he's been trying to master for the past decade, pulling small plastic pegs out of a foam pegboard.
So we're working with Ryan, hoping to get him to grasp and release.
Ryan's mom, Diana Briggs, says she was skeptical when his teacher first suggested the activity. But years later, Ryan will pull up to 100 pegs on a good day. Unfortunately, today is not a good day.
As he's busy with seizures, you kind of hate making him do any work at all because it tends to cause more seizures. That's another reason to get a handle on these seizures.
Ryan has intractable epilepsy caused by a lack of oxygen to the brain at birth, which Briggs attributes to doctor error. She says her son was without oxygen for 24 minutes, and as a result, he neither walks nor talks. He spends most of his time laying in his lazy boy chair. He gets his nutrition through a feeding tube and requires around-the-clock care. Briggs has dedicated her life to caring for Ryan, and more recently to fighting for the legalization of medical marijuana in Pennsylvania with the Campaign for Compassion.
We toted our children in all forms of illness and seizing to the Capitol and let them see what we see every day.
It's very hard for a legislature to say no whenever they're looking at a child that's suffering in front of them and a parent that is pleading, do something to help my child, because medical science hasn't been able to.
Jack Cabezi heads up the Division of Pain Medicine for Allegheny Health Network and sits on the network's task force charged with figuring out who will recommend medical marijuana and how they'll do it. Marijuana can't be prescribed under federal law, only recommended, functionally a distinction without a difference. Cabezi is skeptical about the efficacy of marijuana to treat the 17 conditions listed in the state law.
Feels very random. Irritable bowel syndrome and medical marijuana. I have no idea. They're like two ships crossing in the night. I have no idea what they hope to accomplish by allowing patients with irritable bowel syndrome. What do they expect? I have no idea what they expect to accomplish there.
Cabezi's skepticism stems from the fact that medical marijuana hasn't scientifically been proven to effectively treat anything. The U.S. Drug Enforcement Agency recently confirmed that marijuana should remain in Schedule 1, which only includes drugs that have no proven medical purpose.
There has to be, and there will be, ongoing studies regarding the medicinal use of marijuana. But at present, I believe we're not on solid ground here prescribing. So now it comes down to risk-benefit. What's the risk versus what's the benefit? And I always tell patients, when the benefit far outweighs the risk, as long as you know the risk, even if it's minimal, then it's not an unreasonable treatment plan.
When Briggs tried giving hemp oil to her son, Ryan, in mid-2014, they initially saw a reduction in seizures. But soon the color and smell of the oil they were buying online started to change, and the treatment became less effective.
We're ready and waiting for a dispensary that will know Ryan, that will know exactly what we need and have that available every 30 days when we go to pick it up, you know?
Just like any other prescription.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Pennsylvania's Safe Harbor Law does allow parents of minors with qualifying conditions to purchase some cannabis products from other states. But Jonathan Calkins, who teaches public policy at Carnegie Mellon University, says the Briggs experience is not unique.
A lot of the products produced under the state regimes turn out on testing to be very inconsistent in what's in them, some outright fraud.
Some patients are willing to live with the uncertainty of not knowing what exactly is in the cannabis products they consume during the next 18 months as regulators set up the state system. Gretchen lives in the South Hills and smokes weed to manage her multiple sclerosis symptoms. She opens the kitchen drawer to show me the small glass pipe she uses. She says she used to feel strange buying stuff to smoke with, but now
I'm a 64-year-old woman. Who cares what I'm going to do with papers or a pipe? Really, why do I care? So, but there's my little pipe.
Gretchen didn't want us to use her last name, since, after all, she is breaking federal and state law. She says she smokes on her bad days, when the pain and stiffness in her muscles is too much to bear.
You just feel sometimes like you're wound, like you're, you know, tense. And it's really hard to, you know, to naturally sort of unleash that.
She says this happens about once a week. She's tried other remedies, prescription drugs, yoga, meditation, but so far the only thing that has consistently helped is marijuana, and the sense of relief goes beyond the physical.
Because this is a brain disease and it affects your moods and your outlook. So it's good to have something that makes you feel better.
She says she'd probably use the drug more often if it didn't also get her high. Smoking might relieve the pain and tension, but it also makes her reluctant to do anything outside of the house or interact with others. She's looking forward to trying one of the low THC, high CBD forms of marijuana that will eventually be sold at Pennsylvania dispensaries. THC is the psychoactive component in weed, the part that makes you feel euphoric. Scientists theorize that CBD is the ingredient that dulls pain. Again, Jonathan Calkins.
If CBD came from dandelions, it may never have been part of this conversation whatsoever. It has the misfortune to come from the same plant as a chemical that is dependence-inducing.
Marijuana's Schedule I status has made it hard for academic researchers to study it. There's a lot of red tape to cut through. And Calkins says because CBD and THC were discovered more than a half century ago, there's little financial incentive for pharmaceutical companies to do the research.
Most biomedical research is done in the hopes of getting a patent that you can then make back your investment on. And it's a little tricky how exactly you're going to patent a plant that's been around for hundreds of years.
Pennsylvania's medical marijuana law does have a research provision. In fact, 30% of state revenues from the program are supposed to fund research. But academics will still have to get federal approval before they can start any studies. And patients, they'll soon be able to get marijuana products from 150 dispensaries across the state and will continue to do their own experiments at home. I'm Liz Reed, 90.5 WESA News.